Jazz FM. Listen in color.
Well, I'm sitting here with three of the heartbeats of a really exciting new vocal group. Kind of in the Take Six tradition, I'd say you could probably safely say also maybe inspired a little bit by a guy I know pretty well, Mr. Mel Torme and the Meltones, and something real close to my heart. It's a group called Vive. They are the sickest vocal group that is around right now in the UK, and just a real exciting new energy. I'm here with Ben Cox and James Rose and Sam Robson, who are all indisposable members and just kind of hanging out here in, what is it, Euston?
Euston Square.
Here in Euston. Tell me, James, first of all, give me a little bit of an idea about the evolution of this project. Like, how did you guys come together? I know it wasn't totally like, I know it wasn't as simple as just like a group of people that were all at school together, although there's some of that. But you found each other very interesting ways. Tell me a little bit about
we
that.
We did. Well, it all began at Guildhall School of Music, actually. I was studying jazz piano, but I caught the a cappella virus about 6 or 7 years ago, if not more, actually, than that. I've had this huge passion for a cappella, and it really did. It was never a matter of me simply saying, I'm going to make a six-part vocal group, I'm going to pick these people. It was based upon friendship first.
Vive itself was sort of initially kind of like a creation that you had in your head, that you created, and then you then ended up, casting it how?
Well, I had a long-term vision for it, but I didn't want to take any super steps right away because I wanted to gather my closest friends and have an experiment with making sounds. You know, music for me has always been entertainment and experiment. And, the bass and baritone, Martinez and Lewis, they've stuck throughout. I mean, the group's been around for about 2 years now, but it's had so many different iterations.
Two whole years.
Wow,
man, it's
it
amazing.
Feels long.
I don't see any gray in your hair. That's probably because you guys are all like 21.
All right. Yeah. Well, we've certainly gone through stresses, and you know, there have been some
almost
amazing
gray hair moments.
Almost gray hair moments. But,
that's okay.
It grew. It had such a natural blossoming to it, which I mean, everything came at the right time. So when we got our first gig as a five part, we were five part first, hence the name Vocal Five. I squished it together to make Vive. You see
that?
Little facts.
I'm a little slow on the uptake.
It's a bit of a deception because we're six part now, so the name doesn't quite apply as much. But
what would be six part? That was Vix.
That'd be
right?
Vix, but that's a nasal spray, so right. We can't do that.
You get into like legal problems, of course. That
yeah,
would be why you want
getting
to do
sued
that.
By pharmacies is not what we're going for.
Wrong.
So we'd get some unwanted customers if that were our branding. So we stuck with Vive, but you know, it grew. It was originally a lineup similar to the real group. Actually, it had two females and three guys, and it naturally evolved into having the lineup that it is with five guys and one female, which is a very, very unusual template to work with.
Yeah, that is unusual. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
I'd never really seen that done.
Totally unplanned as well. But it's great. And it's a credit to, you know, the guys sitting next to me, Ben and Sam, who work with Emily to make that blend. And, you know, then the lower half, we've been working from day one together. So
you're talking about Emily Dankworth.
Emily Dankworth.
Who is Cleo Lane's granddaughter.
Right, exactly.
Cleo, who made many albums with my father and toured with my dad.
Yep.
Johnny Dankworth, her
Johnny
grandfather,
Dankworth.
Who again, I'm just making sure you folks know that everything always comes back to me, James.
But here we are.
Johnny Dankworth, who ran the band for my dad, one of the great band leaders of the jazz era, and also I know he was a great composer, great instrumentalist. I mean, the guy was a multi-talent. And actually, he was running the band the night my parents met at the Cool Elephant here in London in about 1965. And then their son, Alec Dankworth, who plays bass for me sometimes.
Father.
Yeah, who was the father of Emily. Okay, so this is
talk
amazing.
About music family.
I'm even more connected than I remember. Go ahead.
Yeah, and of course she entered a little bit later in the game along with Ben, and Sam was the last to fall into the group, whom I met on YouTube first.
Oh, that's right. You guys have met this interesting way. Tell me a little bit about that.
Romantic way that we...
It is. It's a bromance.
It's a bromance. And, you know, I first fell in love with his channel before I even knew him. You know, I found his channel channel. I wasn't so much on YouTube at that point. Sam had been, you know, going for a while. The breadth of his music, the fact that someone else in London had this,
Someone in the UK,
right? It was it's amazing. It was such a treat, and it turned out that he is like the nicest guy I've ever met. So it you know, initial nerves when you see someone who's doing the same stuff. And
sure,
stuff
there's like a little bit of healthy, like, okay, let me check you out.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What are you doing?
Right.
Okay, like, who are you? Like,
but yeah, it wasn't also incredible for me because, like James, like, I'd never been around people into the close harmony thing, and I've always struggled to find people, especially in my college and in my school, that were ever interested. So just kind of for the first time actually seeing the group before I was in, you know, at a gig somewhere in New Cross, it was incredible. And I was like, finally, I think I found where it's all happening.
I mean, it had to, ridiculous here, but like it had to be meant to be. I mean, the timing
of
when you guys,
felt like that.
it's like landing where you you need to put your energy. You know,
it was really funny because when we first met, it was almost like people had started saying like Sam Robson's here, James Rose is here, like you two are going to meet and you're just going to talk take six and a cappella. Like, but you know, it was like, because I hadn't met him before.
It's exactly what happened as well.
And it's exactly what, like, I was excited.
You mean
to
like
know.
Us when I sat down here 20 minutes ago for the last like half hour. Before I'm like, oh, we have maybe we should do an interview,
right? You know, and people, it was amazing because I had seen his YouTube stuff, and then you know, people like Sat Robson is here. You know, you guys have to just talk, and of course, like, we connected, and it turns out that Sam's really humble as well, which is the beautiful part of music. It's like where it's not. We didn't fight with our musical.
So this was never a dueling egos thing. Like so many very talented people, I remember even, you know, going back to my dad's era, you know, all the people like, you know, from like Jerry Lewis and Buddy Rich and all these kind of cats that I grew up around, like one of them would get some big thing happen in their career and the other would be on the phone with them going, that's so great. And then they'd hang up the phone and go, what the hell? Why did he get that? You know, it was like, you know, there's none of that with you guys, which is so fresh and it's a nice thing.
It's amazing. You know, the musical friendship and actual friendship has taught me just a lot of how I want my musical career to go. You know, I want to be a part of his and I want him to be a part of mine because it's like the brains connect, I think it's fair to say, you know, musically. And
how fortuitous, so, man.
Maybe.
That's great.
Maybe, yes, thank you, yeah.
So tell me about you a little bit, Ben. How did you work into this situation?
Well, I'm the youngest member, just turned 20, and as you know, I'm sitting here because of your father. I mean, Mel Torme was one of my biggest heroes is to become a jazz vocalist. And yeah, I studied at the Guildhall and James was a year above me and asked me to come along when they were looking for a new member. I think to become the sixth member, right?
It was, yeah, it was five. Yeah.
That's right. When I joined.
Wow, number
and,
six.
Yeah.
That was the pinnacle moment.
Yeah.
That's what you call a pinnacle moment.
Pinnacle moment.
Exactly.
So yeah, no, we did the first rehearsal and yeah, it just... I really enjoyed it. And
sort of the rest is history, huh?
Exactly.
Wow. Already real tenor as well as me.
Oh, well, you gotta have one of those.
Gotta have one of those. They help.
How cool, man. Well, my father would be humbled and would so appreciate you mentioning him and citing him as a reason, raison d'être, as it were, for part of what you do.
Yeah.
I really know that this applies to all of you kids, like... he'd be doing breakdancing moves, okay? Like he probably is. And I just know how much it would mean to him to know that the future of tight harmony, but yet so innovative, soulful, pushing the envelope type of music is in such good hands. And it has such a secure future. And I know it does as long as you guys are doing this. So tell me a little bit about... You know, I have, of course, the deluxe version sent to me by Mr. Alec Dankworth. No, nice. Okay. Well, I have the original album signed by all you guys, which I gave to my sister. And as she took it out of my hand, I wouldn't release it. And now I have the deluxe version, of course, with several new tracks on it.
Yes.
And So, and then you guys also, James, you recorded a couple a cappella albums in about as many years. Going back, it seems like every like 4 months you're like releasing another album. Yeah. You're pretty much a disgusting person. I love those albums. The first one is called A Cappella, and the second one's called All That You Are.
All That You Are.
And oh my goodness, man, I think you know this story, but I'll just tell our listeners here on Jazz FM that I was listening to this sitting there, and I think business class or business first or whatever they call it, reclining, as it were, on the way back to L.A., like I did so many times as a kid, being educated here in England and then going back for like the holidays to my dad's in L.A. Mm. And it literally brought tears to my eyes, like hearing these albums, and including, of course, the Vibe album. But you must be real proud of those first two efforts. And I certainly am on your behalf.
I am.
So, those albums, Sam, didn't you do a little bit of the arranging on somewhere in there, or you sang somewhere
Not on his two
albums.
You sung on the first one, actually.
I think you
a
did.
A bit on.
Look at me, I'm like, I think you did.
The track Holy?
Yeah, Sam's definitely involved.
So you guys had already had this beginning, this relationship in
absolutely
the beginning, and then the Vibe project also was in its
exactly
somewhat infancy, but it was going, and then you've done these other two albums sort of on the side, so to speak.
Exactly.
And then I hear through the grapevine that there is a new album, a new project
that you have. Yeah.
So is that a new James Rose project?
It is, It's my third one. It's kind of, I consider it like the partner album to All That You Are. It's like another same length, but sort of different songs that kind of echo the first album. So I'm very proud and excited about this next one.
You and me both, my friend. Now, folks, if you're listening to this right now on jazzfm.com, just press pause and go to iTunes and get these three albums, this Vibe album. Now, what's the name of the first Vibe album? It's just called Vibe, isn't it?
It's just called Vibe.
Yeah, yes. It's called Vibe. And of course, those first two albums by James Rose. I'm offering a money back guarantee. You're going to enjoy the hell out of these things. I mean, you will play them and play them. If they were tapes, they would wear out and you'd have to go get another one later, like I did with Off the Wall when I was given it back in 19... Anyway, so what's... give me the current status. Like, let me get a status. What's happening, like, right now? You have this... Obviously, that's... You have enough to report over there, Rose.
Yeah.
You have this new album about halfway through, or what? Where
about
are we at?
Just over halfway through.
Very cool. Very cool. And then plans for the group right now? We have other performances coming up later in the year, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You guys just did the Edinburgh Fringe. You guys were out in, like, Lithuania.
Yes.
I mean, you're basically maniacs. You're becoming world jet-setter maniacs, which is what I like to see.
I think we're all really excited about the London Jazz Festival coming up.
You're going to be performing... Right, aren't you going to perform at, like, the Barbican or something?
Yeah, we've got a really...
Look
awesome
at me with my memory. I remember these things that you tell me. They don't just go right through.
Right.
I look like they'd go right through my head, but no.
They're there. Here
they are.
With Guy Barker, actually. He's doing, like, an orchestrated version
amazing
of a hymn that we're going to be performing in.
Now, Guy Barker's one of the most talented cats I know. I've worked with him. I've worked with his big band. We did Friday Night is Music Night together with Gregory Porter and the London, BBC Symphony, the BBC Concert Orchestra, and the Guy Barker Big Band on stage at the same time in the Big Top there at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival.
Yeah.
That was last May. And we did The Life of Ray Charles. To this day, I still sing many songs from that show that I essentially premiered for that show. But I worked closely with Guy. I consider him a friend of mine. And boy, he is the most talented arranger, I think, around.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know a better arranger. Like, if I'm just, like, going to make an album that's going to have a symphonic jazz thing, you know, going on with strings and horns and things like that, I'd just be calling Guy. And Guy would be telling me, of course I want to do it. I just, in about 2.5 years, when I'm not as busy as I am now. So you guys should know how lucky you are to be working with him.
Very.
He's a wonderful talent. Yeah, nice guy too. A funny guy.
Yeah.
Funny guy. No pun intended. But, so how cool is that? Now, so what dates are those? Do you know? You have the exact date of that?
Do we have the exact
date? It's the opening night of the festival. Which
opening night of the London Jazz Festival. The Cats are going to be performing with Guy Barker. I mean, I'm flying back over here, let me tell you. That is so exciting. So a lot to look forward to. And then, of course, I'm sure a lot of subsequent, you know, you guys are going to keep doing your thing. You're going to keep developing this. You're getting more and more attention now. I know you've won, like, some awards and things. What's that award you guys already won?
We won the award.
Some kind of vocal.
Award of originality from.
The award of originality. Yeah. I want that award. Give that over. Where is that? Is it in the cupboard here?
It's a little piece of paper. But it's sort of endorsed by Ward Swingle, who was, of course, like so involved with Swingle Singers. And, you know, that was one. And the other.
Well, you two won Best Arrangers, didn't you? The Best Arrangement Awards and stuff.
Look at you guys. You guys are horrific. I'm so jealous right now. I can't believe it. So you guys are already getting, you know, some of the decoration, some of the recognition that you do deserve. And you're also humble, you know. I'm sure it's kind of like water off a duck's back. But you know what I mean? Enjoy it, because, you know, you should be making the waves that I know you are. And you guys all handle the attention you're getting so gracefully. It's a beautiful thing. And don't change. That's the main thing I would tell you. I don't think I have to tell these three that, folks. I'll tell you what. But
it's certainly been a long journey, you know, from the beginning to where we are. It's been quick.
So there's been a lot of hard work. I mean, let's not forget, you guys have had to, you know, guys have had to put your head down and work on this.
And this album sort of came out of Alec, who started a new record label. It was like, okay, if you're going to do this album with me, you need to do 12 tracks in 12 months, in 2 months. Sorry, it was very fast paced, but we all worked together to you know, accomplish that quite hard recording time.
Sure, that's a teamwork thing right there.
Exactly, and I thought I would also say, just on behalf of Sam as well, along with the Vive album that we're sort of, Vive Deluxe, that we're sort of in the midst of releasing, and my own album, which will come at the beginning of next year. Sam's got a hymn album that's a cappella as well, so check that out soon.
It'll
probably be around the same time, I think.
That, so. Do you have a title for that yet? Because I never work out what I'm going to call one of my albums. You know, like I painfully go back and forward.
It's been hard because the studio bit that I record in is being renovated, so I can't use it at the moment. So
but still,
it's on hold.
But so are we until we get that. We will be excited, and of course, you know, I will certainly let the folks know. When that comes out, we'll let all our listeners know, and they can look out for that too. A hymn album from Mr. Sam Robson. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
So a lot of acapella coming.
That is going to be so sick. Very cool. Well, guys, such a pleasure. We're going to hang out a little bit now, guys. We're going to end this interview, but what a lot of fun it is to hang with you. And we look forward to hearing a lot more from Vive and the Cats here. Take care.
Bye.
I'm like, take care. Now let's hang out.
Jazz FM. Listen in color.